one of the most famous concepts in the world of Lashon Hara is this heter of Lashon Hara Letoelis. So it's a fascinating sugya, and remember the first time the times I learned it with the Chavetz Chaim, went through the footnotes, etc. I said, it seems to be that the Chavetz Chaim is building this out of the air a little bit, and that's a chiddush that the Chavetz Chaim should do that. I figured, you know what, I'll be machai myself to go through the sugya, because I really went through the sugya, and I'll find the makaras for it. And I go through the sugya, and I'm back to square one. The Chavetz Chaim is building out of the air to some extent, and I think it's fascinating. And let's understand exactly this this concept. So just the concept we're talking about, we know there's one of the Chavetz Chaim has brought to our awareness this very significant avera of Lashon Hara, of saying something negative about other people. And the Chabad Chaim introduces that by telling us how many negative commandments a person could transgress, which he says there's 17 possible negative commandments, there's 14 possible positive commandments, there's four different arurim that a person possibly, four different clothes that the Torah gives to people, possibly a person could transgress. One of them is specifically about Lashon Hara, there's other ones besides. And we're all doing all these things. Then the Chavetz Chaim comes along, both at the end of Hilchos Lashon Hara in Klal Yud, and the end of Hilchos Rechilas in Klal Tes, and he says, but if there's going to be a benefit to somebody else, you're allowed to say it. And then he says there's different details that you have to, criteria that you have to meet, the point that you have to meet to be able to allow it. But he says, okay, so where is this from? Where does this come from, this idea? So on page 1, Chabad Chaim says over here, now just the difference between what he says in Hilchos Rechilas and what he says in Hilchos Lashon Hara. So Rechilas, the Chabad Chaim defines, or the Rambam defines, as creating some type of animosity between two individuals. So we're discussing the heter of Toelis over here, we're discussing it in the concept of allowing us to say something negative, which is going to cause some element of negativity between two people. That's in Hilchos Rechilas. So that would be relevant. I'm taking a partner, I'm hiring a worker, I'm going into a shidduch. Any interface between two people, which now goes under the umbrella of Rechilas, there's a heter of Toelis, if it's for a valid purpose, is going to be mutter. There's also a concept of saying Lashon Hara, which is just saying something negative about people, period, irregardless of whether it's
valid.
Whether it's please, let me ask you to not repeat it. I'm going to measure. Okay, thank you. There's saying negative about people, independent of whether you're causing animosity between two people. Just I'm saying something negative about somebody. So sometimes you're allowed to say something negative about somebody. That's what he talks about in the world of the heter of Toelis in Lashon Hara. So you have Toelis and Rechilas, meaning it's a question between two parties. And you have Toelis and Lashon Hara, where you're talking about one individual, not between two parties, but just the individual himself saying something negative about that individual. So both of them, he says, there's a heter. So he says, okay, so I have this question over here that if I see, we're going to use Reuven and Shimon, and so Reuven is getting involved with Shimon. Shimon is potentially in some way going to be detrimental. This relationship between Reuven and Shimon will be detrimental to Reuven. I have to tell Reuven about it. So the Chofetz Chaim says, so the question he says, I want to know, he starts off, I didn't mark it off, but at the beginning of the right column, I tell you that you must go tell him. As a matter of fact, you must tell him. He says, even if you're not asked, you must tell him. Even without being asked, just on your own, you are required to offer this information, this negative information. So he says, where does that sounds pretty, I started out, and all of a sudden I'm saying this, where does it come from? So, nearly the mechumen adin lahagilor. So, he wants to know that are you allowed to tell him? Must you tell him? What exactly? So, he says in the paragraph, nearly the mechumen adin lahagilor, you are required to tell him. I see him as Sanhedrin. He brings a gemara Sanhedrin. I see somebody which is being tevei benor. Or this environment. I see a person who's drowning. I see a person who is being attacked by these bandits. So do I have responsibility to step in and save him? I cannot be passive. I have a responsibility to step in and to save the individual. So therefore, in the case of the listing, I need to tell him about it so he can prevent it. So I have to tell him about it. OK, okay, so here I'm not jumping into the river to save him. I'm not fighting with the bandits. I'm telling the person, hey, they're out to get you. Make sure you don't go down that road. So I'm telling him the plan. So I'm talking Lashon Hara. And it's mutter. He says, okay, well, of course, because that's a situation. His life is in danger. If he goes down that road, his life is in danger. Over there, the situation is they want to, his life is going to be endangered. So I need to tell you that you should protect yourself. Maybe when it comes over here, we're just dealing with a financial loss. So I'm about to hire a worker, and this worker really is—he's not so scrupulous. He's going to steal some things from me. So am I allowed to tell him? Am I mechuyev to tell him? Well, some of them are yechud, but that's when the case where we're endangering somebody's life. Here we're not talking about a life-threatening situation. We're talking about just a financial loss. Well, no, that's not true.
How about the people
who
know it was more important than their life?
Right. Those two. We'll see the actual quote of the Rambam. The law of some of the Mariach, Kabbal Nami Likovish, as they do so, Binyan Momin, Binyan Magulot. How do I know? If I know testimony for somebody, and I can testify in Bezin and his benefits in a financial situation, how do I know that I have a Chiyav to do it? How do I know that I have a Chiyav to step in and say this testimony? So the Torah says, "Imo yagiv no savan." If you don't testify, you are considered culpable. But the Rambam, the Safra, which is the Torah's Kahanim, and besides that, the Rambam quotes this. The Rambam says that this goes under the umbrella of lo saman adam riecho. That, like you said, somebody's money is valuable to them, like that, very valuable to them. That's like that's part of the dam riecho. So I can, if he's potentially getting a loss of money, I can save him by testifying. I have a chiyuv to testify. So we see the Rambam, the Safra, and the Rambam says that this mitzvah of l'samad amriyecha applies to financial situations as well. Okay, so if the Gemara is telling me that I have a responsibility to tell the individual, the listen we're out to kill you, I have a chiyuv to tell them the listen we're out to steal your money. So I'm saying lashon hara. He's listed to my Jewish bandits, of course, like Jewish Ganovim, right? So I need to tell you about it. And the Lach Afilo Tovachaber Nami Mashma, that the Chiyav to testify is even if you don't ask me. If I know information, I have a Chiyav to come to Bezin on my own. Mosam al Rech, I can't stand past it. And that the Sefer Shar Mishpat, the beginning of Hilchos Eidos, points out that this Aveira applies even if you're not asked to testify. If you know information and you can testify, you have a mitzvah in the Torah and you have an Aveira. If you don't, you have a mitzvah to testify, to offer to testify, even though you're not asked. Okay, so this is where the Chofetz Chaim says that this mitzvah of Sam and Dam Riecha, which we would assume, obviously, it's talking about Dam Riecha, it's talking about a question of a danger to life, and I have a chiyuv to step in and save the person's life, but it's not true. It's something which would be a financial loss as well. Now, the Chofetz Chaim is going to move from beyond the cases of financial loss. He gives the example of a hiring worker, he gives the example of a partner. He also gives an example of a shidduch. Now, there's no financial loss necessarily over there in the shidduch. It's just a question of ending up marrying somebody that I would not want to marry. But he says it applies to that as well. So, okay. Now, on page 2, he points out that this, but he makes a list of requirements that you have to be careful about, the different points that you must be aware of when you're doing this, to fulfill this, to allow this heter to tell a lashon hara, and actually make you responsible to say lashon hara. It's only if it meets certain criteria. So some of them are pretty obvious. You cannot exaggerate, he says. You have to know the information firsthand. One of them, he says, that you have to have in mind that you're doing this l'toelus, for a positive purpose. You know, so you're about to hire this worker, and he used to work for me, and I really hate the guy's guts because he stole a lot of money from me. So of course I'm doing you a favor by letting you know that this fellow was a ganav, and you know you shouldn't hire him. But I'm also getting he had a great job opportunity which I just destroyed for him, and I'm so happy that he lost that job. So my intent is also because I don't like the person. Besides the fact that I want to help you, I'm out there to get the other guy. All right, the divorcee. You know, I'll let you know what I think about my husband, what he did to me. You know, of course I'm only just thinking for your benefit, not because I happen to not like my husband. You know, well, is that sure? Not. So you have to have a kavana l'tol. You have to have intent only for the positive purpose. Okay. Now, so that the So let's read it on the top of the page. Number it says Gimel Shekavan Rak Tovelos. You have to have intent just for the beneficial purpose. The Haino Laselak and Izakim is that to protect you from any loss. Not because you have any animosity, any hatred towards the other person, towards Shimon. Okay, now just take a look over here in the Ber Mayim Chaim. He brings certain sources for that, which we're going to see some of them as we go along. Vein kavanoso b'pratzeh, then in the second paragraph, in the footnote in Bir Maim Chaim, which is like the middle of the page, the second paragraph of footnote Gimel, vein kavanoseinu b'pratzeh. So, okay, you know what? I can't really have positive intent. I can't do it. So I'm hotter. I don't have to tell you anything. I'm not allowed to tell you anything, so I can't say anything. So you should have this $1 million loss because I can't control myself. And well, that's not right either, right? You know, you're hiring this guy, and he's going to swindle you. He's going to embezzle. Who knows what he's going to do? But he did it to me, and I'm just thinking about my. You know, so that's not very nice to me either. So he says you are responsible. So like you know, so. Reuben's being attacked by Shimon, and Shimon is threatening Reuben's life, and he's beating him up, etc., very, very dangerously, etc. And I don't really like Shimon too much. And of course, if I'm going to step in, and I'm a world champion boxer, and I can take him down easily. But I happen to hate Shimon's guts, so I can't save Reuben from being killed because I hate Shimon's guts, and I'm not going to do it for the right purpose. That's ridiculous. Of course, you have to step in and learn to control your yetzer and focus for the right reason. So I'm not saying that you are relieved from your responsibility to do something because you have negative feelings. You need to overcome your negative feelings and focus for the benefit of the person that you're saving.
Would that be true by the first hand clause as well? If the person who knows information first hand isn't saying anything, are you still mechuyev to say something?
Who are you?
You're the one who heard it secondhand.
So secondhand gets more complicated, and the answer could be yes. Assuming that person is not doing something, I could do something. I would have a chiyuv to do something, but secondhand gets more complicated. I'm not going to. That's like a little bit. We discussed the halachas last night. So this is just the lumnus.
The initial set of conditions here is telling the beis din.
No.
It's also applied to telling the individual.
No, we're not talking about beis din. We're talking about saving the person. He hears bandits are about to attack him. Or I know that they're gonna ambush him on this road. I tell him, don't go down that road. I don't go to Bez, and I go to the guy. So they say, I'm about to hire the worker. Don't hire the worker, right? Okay. In the footnote, in the bottom footnote, in the Shulei Achaim, he raises this. He points out that you have to overcome your negative feelings. He says he doesn't say that before in Hilchos Lashon Hara. He says it over here. Right. So both cases, he talks about a heter of the toelis. He only says it over here. So what he says before in Hilchos Lashon Hara is, let's say a person is, Shimon is doing something which is really negative, really bad. It's an aveira, etc. And I want to publicize that so people should realize that this is not how you're supposed to act. So I'm allowed to do that. If that's my intent, my positive intent, and I spoke to the person, and Shimon is not accepting my techocha. I meet all my criteria that I have to do. I'm allowed to publicize it. You know, you should know Shimon is acting improperly. What he's doing is wrong. It's not between two people. It's about him, right? Over there, if I can't overcome my negative feelings, I don't say anything. Over here, I have to, because over here there's losam al damriyachol. And that's what he points out over here, that over here, it's not just a question of publicizing, it's a question of I'm saving somebody, I have a mitzvah to save somebody, I have an aveira. If I don't save somebody, I can't just say, well, I can't have the right intent, and therefore I'm relieved from my responsibility. Okay. So the source of this is, one of the sources is Rabbeinu Yarno, to page 3. So the Chofetz Chaim, the introduction to his Sefer, the Chofetz Chaim, he says you should find that multiple times, in the Sefer, I'm going to quote the Rabbeinu Yarno. Rabbeinu Yarno was a Musa Sefer. Right? So how can you quote a Musa Sefer? We're talking about Halacha over here. He says, it's very clear that the Rabbeinu Yarno, throughout this section, which he dealt with Lashon Hara, he never really went beyond the din. He was just giving us the actual Halachas. He was not giving us Musa. In general, just an advertisement for the Rabbeinu Yarno. So Rabbeinu Yarno, if you look at the Sefer is divided into four sections, four shorim, he calls them. The first Sefer is how to do tshuva. The first shar is how to do tshuva. What are the details of how to do tshuva? The second section is why should you do tshuva. It gives you six reasons why a person should do tshuva. So that's pretty much Musar type. And the third section says, okay, what do you do tshuva about? What are veiras are there? So let's go through all the averus. And he points out all the averus which a person is possibly not aware of and why you should do tshuva about them. So he's not giving mussar. He's talking about halachas. These are halachas. These are mitzvahs. These are dinim which a person should be keeping, which a person not necessarily aware of. Now, he might throw in a little bit of mussar while he's at it, you know, but the main point is, so Shar Gimel, which is where this is taken from, is not the mussar section of the Zephyr. It's actually, and there's a lot of mussar there, but it's not the point over there, is to point out halachas which you are not necessarily aware of, that you should be aware of and be careful about. So the Chofetz Chaim says, and he says, anyway, I would not rely on the Beit Yonah alone when he's saying a chumrah, because there is an element of mussar, but I will rely on him when he says a kula. And this is actually a case where he's saying a kula. This is a couple of times in the introduction. So now, Reish Goel, he says, V'daki, V'dvorim Shmenolim, V'chaveiroi, K'ngvoi gezel, V'oishik, V'nezel, V'tzar, V'oishis, V'nos, D'vorim, Yochel, L'sabar, D'vorim, L'vnei Odom. You could tell the people about these situations where you're not talking about publicizing he did an aveira, which he talked about earlier, but talk about there's a potential damage to somebody. Even though one person saw it, you could help the person who's being affected. If I know information and I can give the information, I can protect him or get his money back, I have a responsibility. I'm allowed to say Lashon Hara, and I have a responsibility to do that, and that's why you find that the Enecha could go to Bezdin to be Mechayev and Meshua, but you should try and speak to the other person first if possible. Okay, so but he introduces this idea by Benot Mechaveroi, when we're dealing with issues between people, I have a right and I have a mitzvah actually to say something. Okay. The next page, 4 and 5, is a Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva is a sefer written on Yeruday is actually it's printed in the Vilna edition of the Shulchan Aruch. In Arachayim, it's not. The Shari Tshuva is printed instead. But the Sefer Piskei Tshuva exists on Arachayim as well. It's printed as a separate Sefer. So in Simen Kuflin Vav, Kuflin Vav is like sort of like the Musar section of Shulchan Aruch. Talks about a person leaving, finishing the lachas of the shul, and going out to before it goes to the lachas of how to eat a meal. It says the person goes out to masa matan, you should be careful to do a be'emes, etc. Then the Magen Avraham makes this long list of potential averus that a person might be dealing with on a daily basis. So he talks about lashon hara over there. That's one of the main places where the Magen Avraham talks about lashon hara. So the Piskei Tshuva, in response to that, says, you know, Berisi lahas kripo, this is on page 4, it's in the bottom paragraph, second line, third line in, bracketed off. Berisi lahas kripo, I want to say something over here. Aldas asher kol hasifri musr harisho oilam al oven lashon hara. Everybody, they're marished Ireland. They raise the thunder. They raise the roof about this issue called Lashon Hara. Vanochi marish Ireland lehipuch, and I want to raise the roof on the following. Oven Golem, he said, there's an aver which is worse than that. Vagamu motzi yoser, and I find it's very common. Not saying something when you're supposed to say something. Okay, that's a powerful lashon, right? When you have a chiva say something, and give derech moshul, b'misha ro be'echad shu orev al chavera ba'orma al aderech b'midbor lahargoy, he's going to ambush him. Or he's breaking into the house, or into his store. You're not going to say lashon hara. It's lashon hara about the guy. I can't say something. You are being culpable for this person's death. This is protecting a person from a loss. At least goes into Shabbos Aveda. You see that his servants are stealing money. Or the shutim is fooling him. Or he's borrowing money, he's not going to pay back. You don't want to get involved with this mechutin. So how can you not say something? And then he continues on, etc. So he has a very strong lashon over here. There's a chiyuv to say something. It's not just a nice thing. It's a chiyuv to say something. And I look at that, he says, in many ways, as a worse avera than lashon hara. The silence is worse than lashon hara. I'll give you, I mentioned this last night in the shir. There is a ramah in Hilchos Shavuos, in Yerodei, in Hilchos Shavuos, that the ramah says, let's say Shimon tells me a secret. and makes me swear I won't reveal it. And this secret potentially could cause a loss to Reuven. And the Torah would want me to tell Reuven to protect Reuven from a loss. The shua is not a valid shua. It's called a shua to go against the mitzvahs of the Torah. The shua is not chal, and you have a chiyuv to tell Reuven. That's what the Ramah paskens. So the chiyuv to let Reuven know that there's a potential hefzid that Shimon's causing him, and Reuven to protect himself from that, is so strong that it's not the shua does not take effect at all. It's called nishma levatel, the mitzvah. Shua against the mitzvah is not chal, and your shua has no, right, the person who grapple with the question which comes up, you have HIPAA situations, etc. I know that information about somebody which could protect somebody else, I'm a doctor or a therapist, etc., right, that there are multiple, I made an oath not to share. Well, the oath is not chal, because it's a shul and nishul about those mitzvahs. Do I have a chiv to say? So the question which comes up is, if I'm going to lose my license and I'm potentially lose my pranasa, do I have a chiv to say? The answer which the person will give you is that you're not mechiv to say if you're going to lose your license and lose your pranasa. There's two reasons why. We can discuss it after share, but that's the psak. But if that's not the situation, a person is going to lose a parnasa, a person would have a chiyuv to say, even though he's promised he's not going to say, if it's something that you must protect the other person from. Okay.
Brother Ryan?
Yeah.
Two questions. Are you going to get to halachas of if somebody comes to you with information, you're on the receiving end, do you believe it or not?
I'm going to get that to the end if we get there. Okay. Okay. Page 6. So this is a quote from the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Mitzvah lo sasei reis harivav. He's Yironu mil Yisrash batzolus nefesh echad kishinereu basakonus mobis. Oh, you have it. We cannot be negligent. We cannot be what's the word I'm looking for?
Passive.
When I can save somebody, when I see him in a situation of potential danger of life or of a loss, v'yilanu yichelus lahatzil, and we're able to help. He gives an example. Person is Tavei Benor, etc. I'm skipping to where the brackets are. A person holds back, refrains from giving testimony. He's included in this Avera as well. He sees money being lost. He could get it back for him by testifying, and he doesn't do so. So here the Rambam says that the financial loss goes under the umbrella of Lasamana Demriyav. Okay, there's just two more sources on that. The Haredim does that on page 7. He quotes it from the name of Ramesh Makuchi, which is the smag. So the Haredim is saying the smag says this as well, that the Torah juxtaposes Lasamana Demriyav Bamecha, Lasamana Demriyav. It's the same pasuk. You cannot say Lashon Hara. That's the bearer of Lashon Hara. But Lashon Hara, don't refrain from telling when you potentially save somebody from a loss. And the same thing in the Archaim in page 8. It does the same thing. Now, what's the logic of this Heter? Page number 9. So we can understand, like the Archaim says, that the Torah juxtaposed these two things in the same pasuk. The Torah put them together to tell me that even though we have an avera of saying Lashon Hara, the Torah is explicitly telling me that there's an override, there's an escape clause of doing it when I'm protecting somebody from a loss. So it's not a general rule in Ben Adam Lechaveri, it's specific to this issue of Lashon Hara specifically. Rabbi Chana does not understand it like that. So on page 9, this is the Sefer Kerbet Torah from Rabbi Chana Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Domoy. So Rabbi Chana says, on the top left column, that he brings a Tosis in Emorah Katan, that we put people in Chayrim. Well, Chayrim is a form of Klala. There's a law in the Torah, so you cannot be Makal give somebody a Klala. So how does the power of putting somebody in Chayrim override this issue of Klala? That's the question what Tosis deals with. So Tosis says, it's a question, Meshem Mishtoyt Yofinen. Rululei Devereim HaYanira, that Rabbi Chanan says, we're not for Tosis, I would say, the Holy Surim Shebet Adam Lechaber, mitzvahs or Nisurim which are between individuals, and an Nisur Eladar Kilko Vashkos Shalom Tzara. The Isur is when you're doing it for no valid purpose. And it gives an example, Losisa Zechicha Belvavecha, you can't hate somebody, but the Isur is only if it's seen as Chinam. If there's, Chazal say, if you see somebody doing a Dvar Erva, I'm allowed to hate him. As a matter of fact, there's a more, there's a mitzvah lisnoisa. He talks about lav dechayvul, the issue of hitting somebody. The Rama says the issue of hitting somebody derech nisoyin in a fight. That's why your Rebbe is allowed to hit a Talmud. Right? He says what you're hitting somebody. There's this amon, you cannot afflict an amon of yosem. So I'm teaching a yosem. I can't chaper him a little bit to make him learn better because, you know, I'm causing him pain. But that's not true. Rama says, you know, silulam the Torah umnis leki yisura. Rama says if you are being ma'an of the child, you're pressuring him and giving him pain because you feel he could learn better or he could learn his job better. There's not no yisur over there. To stop the machloikis, and ask the vorim, right? You're allowed to be, you're mocked at somebody derech techocha, but giving somebody mussar. Sometimes you know, I give a guy mussar, like, you know, a guy feels uncomfortable. And ask the vorim, I'm using words to give you pain. See, multiple times you see that many of the mitzvahs of Haveroi, if there's a valid need, so we see that all of these averas Benon Haveroi, if there's going to be a Toelis, they're going to be mutter. I would even suggest the Mor has an interesting question, famous ethical question. Okay, so Reuben and Shimon are neighbors. Shimon is this guy who always leaves all of his stuff out on the front lawn. You know, he never puts his stuff away at night. You know, he always tells me, you know, one day, Shimon, you're gonna lose all your stuff. You know, it's not gonna happen. Nobody's gonna steal it. Nobody's stealing. You know, but you're always worried. You know, you're pretty. So one night you decide, I'm done. You go out in the middle of the night. You take away the bikes and you put them in your garage. She says, Shimon was telling me, hey, they were stolen. I'm never going to do this again. I'll keep them locked up. And then you bring them back the next night, you know. So you taught him a lesson, right? You stole to teach him a lesson. Are you allowed to do that? So the more means a pasuk, a special remove of pasuk that it's usur. Loisik Noivu has an extra time to tell me that it's usur. What are you drusher for? Of course you can't. You can't touch somebody else's property. And you need a special drusher because otherwise it would be mutter because I'm not stealing. I'm doing it to order to teach you a lesson. Right? The person talking about a Rebbe taking away a Talmud's whatever he's playing with him during the middle of class, right? You know, so what's it's Geneva, right? You know, so that there's other heterim. You know, you walk in Amanas that being mafker all of your life to your Rebbe. No, okay, fine, okay. So now let's explain this heter. So the Rav Chaim says this is a general heter midon l'chaveroi. The Arachayim says it's based on the drush on the pasuk. So which one is it? So page 10. Rabbi Yonah says a fascinating thing that really there are two parts to Lashon Hara. Every Lashon Hara, really there are two things which are happening when you say Lashon Hara. Hamasaba Lashon Hara Shtayim Heina Kara Oisob. Two things are occurring when I say Lashon Hara about somebody. Number one is Hanezek V'Boshesh Hashayigro L'Chaveru, and the fact that I'm causing you discomfort, the damage. It could be your reputation is affected. You're going to have a financial loss because of it. You're going to be embarrassed, etc. Obichirosu l'kayv l'shias chaveru v'simchosu l'edom, and the fact that you are a negative person by looking at things negatively, and enjoying the fact that you're saying something negative about somebody. So there's something wrong with you. You're acting in a negative way, and there's something wrong with the fact that you're affecting him negatively. And the Rebbe says there are two different points in Lashon Hara. And we're going to point out to the Chofetz Chaim that both of these are valid on their own. Each one stands on its own. Okay, so now when we say Lashon Hara Toelis, we have to explain that Lashon Hara Toelis is going to allow both of these. Right? So that's an interesting question. Maybe we need the two arguments to be able to allow both of them. I want to elaborate on that, but let's just build up this point over here that there are two parts to Lashon Hara. Okay, so on page 11 you have the Rambam Echad, and if you look towards the bottom of the Rambam and then Halacha Hey Perak Shvi Halacha Hey Echad Amasaper B'Lashon Hara B'Fnei Chaver Shalvafonav. Lashon Hara is befonav shlo befonav. Ba'masaber dvorim shagarmim inishmu ish v'pi ish, saying over things which eventually, if they will get out, lahazik chaver begufa, which will cause him damage, either in his physically or financially, filo hotzuloy, or to cause him discomfort, or lahafkiro, to get him scared. Raise the Lashon Hara. So Rama says that I'm saying something which will cause. I'm not saying something which is negative. I don't believe it. I actually think it's a good thing that he did. but I say it in a careless way to the point where it's going to get out to people, eventually it will cause him damage. Rambam said that's Lashon Hara. I have no negative intent at all. The Kavos HaMishnah brings a source for this is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos tells a story that there was Svi Tanorim discussing the situation with the Romans in Eretz Israel, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yehuda said positive things. Rabbi Yossi was parav, and Rabbi Yochai said something negative. One of the people there went out and told somebody, not so he just you know Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai felt like this and this and this. Nothing negative, no negative intent. The Sancho eventually became, it got out, it got back to the government, and Rishon Lezion's life was threatened because of it. And the Morris said that was called Lashon Hara. Because he was careless by sharing something which eventually could cause damage to somebody. He had no negative intent, but he actually told him that Rishon Lezion was right. But it doesn't make a difference. So the fact that it's going to cause a damage is part of Lashon Hara, the damage it's going to cause. The Chabad Chaim points us out on page 12 that if you look in the Be'er Ma'am Chaim, which is the first footnote, it starts on the right column of the bottom line. He quotes the Rambam. Then in the left column, the third line, I have no intent to be Magana him. I have no intent to denigrate him in any way. Like the Kesser Mishnah brings the Rai from the Gemara over there, where Yehuda ben Gerim, Shabbos, etc. He had no negative intent at all. There's an issue of damage. Okay, what about the other way around? The Lashon Hara is because there's damage. What about if there's no damage? Page 13. So this is the language of the Chofetz Chaim. He says, you do not affect him negatively in any way, shape, or form. The people who heard it did not believe you. That they still consider Lashon Hara. And you need to do tshuva. And furthermore, if I can calculate beforehand, that it's not going to impact this person negatively in any way, shape, or form. You cannot say negative things about people. So I know it's not going to affect the negative. I just enjoy saying something negative. That's also awesome. So both these points of Rabbi Yehuda are saying are both true. Each one stands on its own as a form of Lashon Hara. Both of those are called Lashon Hara, even though they're quite different. One is the damage which you're causing, and one is the fact that your person speaks negatively about other people. Both of those are true. Each one stands on its own. Okay. So he points it out on page 14 in the Haggah on the bottom. He says over here like this: other types of errors. If I try to steal, it doesn't work. I didn't steal. I wasn't effective. I mean, I didn't cause any damage to the person. It's still called Lashon Hara. The Morse says the Me'il was Mechaper and Lashon Hara, which wasn't effective. Well, apparently you need Kapara. Just talking negatively about people is considered an Aveira. Besides the damage which you're going to cause. Both of those, each one by itself, is considered Lashon Hara. Therefore, the Morris says, in a case where your Lashon Hara was not affected, which means no damage was caused, you still need the meal to be Mechaper, because that's still called Lashon Hara. Okay, so we have two parts of Lashon Hara. So the average Ben Adam Chaveroi is because of the damage. Okay, you actually did. So when I say what I'm doing is not an act of damage, it's an act of saving. That's not the problem. The Torah didn't answer that, right? So Reuven is hitting Shimon, and Shimon is hitting Reuven, and Reuven hits Shimon back to stop him from hitting him, and he causes damage to Shimon. He's potter. You're mousing somebody. Well, I'm doing it for Hatzola purposes. I'm not doing it to damage. I'm doing it for Hatzola. If the fight is over and I'm so angry at him and I decide I want to go beat him up, then I'm chayav. Now it's just negative. There's no Hatzola involved. But if the purpose is Hatzola, purpose is a positive purpose, that's not the Avera of Bedal and Chavera. I still might be a negative person. Okay? So maybe that's why you need two sources. Okay.
Has anybody attempted to apply any of these principles to politics?
There are no principles of politics. It'd be fascinating to live in a world where politicians would be principled. Yes?
Along those lines, is Lashon Hara when you only when you're disclosing facts? Or if there is a politician where there's no issue about the facts, are you allowed to express a negative opinion about something that he did it?
So the Chofetz Chaim says that that something which is known, there's many Rishonim which hold is not Issur Lashon Hara, but putting a negative spin in it, which is not necessarily automatically understood, is Lashon Hara. Now, I'm not getting involved with politicians.
You express an opinion about something a public figure did. You know, you're not revealing any new facts.
That's what I'm saying.
Badly about this thing he did.
I understand. So I'm saying, the Chofetz Chaim says, publicizing the facts is not a problem because the facts are known. Putting a negative spin on something which wasn't there beforehand would be considered Lashon Hara normally. Is that mutter, we're talking about politicians? That's an interesting question. Okay.
Israel could be a live issue.
It's a very, it'd be fascinating to see I would love to see a situation of elections going forward based on all the following the rules of the Torah. What it would look like. It would not look like the way it looks.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes.
Just parenthetically, there's a new sefer I just bought by Rav Daniel Feldman of YU called False Facts and True Rumors about Lashon Hara and, you know, the current age. And he actually has a section on politics.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's worth
fine. Okay. I prefer not to get involved in politics right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, on page 15 and 16, the Ben Yarna, as he talks about this heter of saying Lashon Hara, he says, if I'm doing it in such a way that it looks like my goal over here is to say negative about somebody. My goal is negative. It's negativity, even though there's potential benefit, but my goal negativity, it's also. So not only is it also if my true goal is negativity, it's also even if it looks like I'm doing it with negativity. So I'm doing it privately, nobody knows about it. Well, why? If you really feel like that, so say something. Well, why are you hiding it? You know, those type of things. So he talked about those type of points. I'm not going to read those inside, but he says etc. Okay.
Can I ask like a flip side of that kind of?
Yeah.
So I know of a situation with somebody where they ended up getting married and they got divorced, and afterwards one person said to somebody who could have given information, they said, why didn't you tell me the information? The person said, you didn't ask me directly.
So if you'd be able to, there are certain situations where you would have had a key to share the information up front even when you were not asked. In certain situations, which you only believe if you're asked, the details is much more complicated. Okay. Now, what about the following question? We're introducing this idea that there's a heter of saying Lashon Hara if your kavana is positive. If your kavanah is negative, there's no heter saying Lashon Hara. We said maybe to explain why you need both the source and the pasuk, and besides that, you also need this argument of Rebbe Chanan, is because maybe there are two parts of Lashon Hara, and we need to address both of those parts. There's the general Ben Adam L'Chaveira rule, which you find applies to, Rebbe Chanan says, all Ben Adam L'Chaveira, if it's done for a positive action, that's not what the Torah asserted. And there's a second issue, which is the act of speaking negative about somebody, negativity about somebody, which the Torah answers, even if there's no effect at all. So, I mean, permitting it because of the effect, I wouldn't necessarily know that's going to be permitted, because the issue is not the effect. While I have a special pasuk, the Torah puts the two, juxtaposes the two in the same pasuk to tell me that the L'Samana Re'echa overrides L'Samana Re'echa L'Mecha. And that's what we're going to suggest. So let's move this forward. What about if you have both intents? You have the intent for the positive result, and you also have intent because you're Samach L'Aid, right? You have both thoughts. What's the rule over there? So we said you're supposed to overcome your negative attitude and just focus on the positive benefits. And you know, that's hard. What are the rules in that situation? Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim seems to be that he wavers on this question. Now, in the footnote in 17, this is a modern sefer. This is a Remersha Kaufman in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rashiv in Eretz Yisrael. He put the sefer out. He touches on this question. Maybe we'll get back to it. I'm not going to read it right now. It's a little bit complicated, and it'll make more sense if we see the rest of our notes. So on page 18, so I mentioned to you the situation where Reuven and Shimon is fighting, attacking Reuven, and Reuven steps in to fight back. He's allowed to do that. What about a third party? Can Levi step in and hit Shimon to save Reuven? Same way, there's a concept of when Shimon is being rodef after Reuven. Shimon is running after Reuven with intent to kill him. A third party is allowed to step in and save Reuven's life if he can save the life without killing Shimon. He has to do so. If the only way he can save Reuven's life is by killing Shimon, he's allowed to do that. That's a bit of rodef. What about a situation where it's not a threat to life? It's a question. I mean, Reuven is going to be being physically beaten. Can Levi step in and do that? So the halacha is Shulchan Aruch. This is a Gemara. It's a Gemara in third parak in Baba Kama, and it's passing the halacha. Chashem Mishnah Shimon Tachav Aleph. Levi sees Shimon hitting Reuven. The only way he could save Reuven is by hitting Shimon. Levi is allowed to hit Shimon to save Shimon from doing an aveira. Hitting somebody is an aveira. So the reason why I'm allowed to do it here is not to save Reuven; it's to save Shimon from doing an aveira. Okay, here the Sma and the Taz discuss a situation where that's not my intent. My intent is not to save Shimon from doing an aveira. I happen to not like Shimon, and I'm very happy to hit Shimon. Right? Levi does not like Shimon; he's very happy to hit Shimon. Right? So his intent is not because he wants it for Shimon. So as a matter of fact, I never stopped people doing aveiras the rest of my life. I actually encourage people to do aveiras. All of a sudden, now I became the big tzaddik. Oh, don't do an aveira; I want to save him from doing an aveira. Like, really? Like, come on, who are you kidding? So the Sma says that case is also. If my intent is not lefrushim yisur, my intent is not to save Shimon from doing an aveira. My intent is that I dislike Shimon, and how do I know that? You've never done this before in your life. Well, you know what? You can't start now. The Taz disagrees. This is an act of hatzolah. This is an act of hatzolah. So just because you have bad intent. You know, so you put on tefillin because your friends think you're a nice guy. You still put on tefillin, right? You know, right? The mitzvah is a valid mitzvah. So the Sma says this situation. He said, not only would you, according to the Sma, not only would you be asked to do it, any damage that you caused, you would have to pay for. Because you're not doing it for the right reason. And the Taz says, the Sma mechalik benim rogo mekacher loy. He says, depends if you've done this before or not. When you there, time is a chiluk. I don't get it. Given the dinner, who shiochol lahat al yedei akoyzamuk? Are you allowed to be matzil? Mali bezesh yesh loy sin al mamaka. Why do I care that you also happen to not like Shimon? Come on, come on. Oysa mitzvah lahat al zamuka. You're doing a mitzvah. Chibi kavodas alayv tayim also. Depends on what your thought process is. I mean, women, you know, talking thought process. Now the Taz says, thought process? Where are you coming from? Where did that come from? Okay? So this is Va'atein Darka Bekach Pamacheris Harelo Yafa Asabaisen Apamim. And now he's doing it right. Shaper Kovid Umitzah Kovid. You did the right thing this time. You stepped in like you're supposed to. So just because you've been doing aveiras till now, the more has lost in eating. Just because you ate garlic, I tell you, you should eat more garlic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the Taz's argument. Okay, so okay.
What? Bye bye.
Yeah.
What about an emotional mock? Does that apply also? Someone is yelling at someone, they're abusing them, but then
yes, there is a case in halacha where somebody's calling somebody a name. And there are halachas of boishes, you know. Shulchan Aruch tells me a case if I call somebody publicly, I call them a mamzer, you know, I have to pay money. Right? Well, if you call me a mamzer first, I can call a mamzer back. You know, there's scenarios in halacha which that applies as well. Yes. Okay. So the Chofetz Chaim points us out this issue of having kavono, that you shouldn't do it because of sina. Well, that might be dependent on the sma and this taz. So according to the sma, that's very clear. You have to have the right intent. According to the taz, like you're doing a mitzvah, I'm saving somebody. Right? He's about to enter into this business partnership with this fellow who's a swindler and an embezzler and every wonderful name in the book, and I'm saving him. But I also happen to dislike the guy. So according to Taz, I have mitzvah solo. It's a mitzvah solo. It's an act of solo. Of course, I should do it. Whatever my intent is, it's not going to. According to the Sma, you have to have the right intent. So he points out that this argument really might. And he points out that this is page 19 at this point. Okay. Now let's go back a second. Is there a comparison between American Chofetz Chaim? Is there a comparison between the world of Makkah and the world of Lashon Hara? So by case of Makkah, it's about Al Chaveira, and we said that the action is right. The issue of the Torah is when the action is an action which is Nitzoyan, an act of fighting. But if it's act of Atzal, it's Mutter. So that's the Taz's argument. The Sma says even in that case, no. What your intent is going to be significant. But does that prove what the status of Lashon Hara is? By Lashon Hara, besides the fact that there's this heter of the general heter of Ben HaVeiroi, that if there's a benefit, it's mutter, there's a separate issue of you are a negative person. It's a separate issue. So maybe the reason why you have to have Kavanah L'Tawel is because of the second part of this mitzvah. And that's what would support this argument that even if the Taz is right by the case of Hakor, he would not necessarily be right by the case of Lashon Hara. Now, what about the following? The Chofetz Chaim is going to touch on two examples. I'm not going to read them inside. Let's start with the page 21 first. Reuben's really upset. Shimon did something terrible to him, and he's really upset. And he's just like he's ready to just tell the whole world. He comes to me and starts telling me the story. Now, there's an issue of listening to Lashon Hara. So I said, Reuben, I don't want to hear about it. Right? That should be the reaction. He says, you know what? I know that if Reuben lets it out, his steam out to me, he's the type of guy, once he lets it out, he'll calm down. I can explain to him a little maybe what's going on. We could sort of deal with it, and he won't, fly off the handle. But if he doesn't let it out now, forget it. He's going into shul tomorrow, giving a clap in the bima, and publicizing it to the whole world. She says it's a mitzvah to listen to him, because I'm saving him from Lashon Hara, right? So the question is, I'm not doing an aveir. I'm listening to Lashon Hara for a valid purpose. Right, he's still saying Lashon Hara for the wrong reason.
So you're not saving him.
So I'm saving him for more avers tomorrow. But the Chofetz Chaim seems to say that it's mutter, even though he has the wrong kavana, because there's a toelis involved in why I'm listening. I'm being machshel him in an avera. The Chofetz Chaim says anytime I listen to Lashon Hara, I'm being machshel somebody in an avera. So you're asking me to do lif neiver l'sitzen mikshol to save him. One case. That's case of page 21. Page 20 deals with the situation. Let's say I'm trying to find information for a shidduch. And I call up and I start talking to the guy, since we're shidduch, everybody clams up, right? That's what happens, right? So I meet the guy and we get together, over a cup of milk, right? Politically correct over here, yeah, right? Start schmoozing, say, what are the guys in Yeshiva like? What about him? What about him? Right? I get all arrayed, right? Now, I'm doing it because I need no information for Shidduch. But he's not having Kavanah L'Tawelis, right? He's having Kavanah for to say Lashon Hara. So the that's I'm doing an Aveira. I'm being Makshal him in an Aveira. What Aveira am I being Makshal him in? He's telling me information, which is valid. So the Chofetz Chaim in the footnote has this, compares it to the following question. There's a Gemara which says a concept like this. There's a din of the Torah called Aforas Nedar. A wife makes a neder, the husband hears about it, the husband has the power to annul the wife's neder. Whether she knows about it or not, he has the power. So lady makes a neder, she's not going to eat bread. Right? The husband hears about it and says, ridiculous. Hafora. So she's allowed to eat bread now. He didn't tell her yet. Meanwhile, she says bread. And she goes and eats bread. as far as she's concerned, she did an aveira. So she needs kapara. She didn't do aveira. There was mutter to eat the bread, but she thought it was aser. Vashem yisach. Well, the Mora says that the case of a person who intended to eat basar chazir, he planned to eat chazir, he ended up eating sheep, ended up eating lamb. He thought it was chazir, really it was lamb chops. Kosher lamb chops, minahadrin, glad kosher. But he planned to eat chazir. So the Mora, you need kapara. So Chofetz Chaim, that's the situation over here. This fellow intended to say Lashon Hara. Really, it wasn't Lashon Hara because I got the benefit from it. And I'm being machshel him in that. Is that called an Aveira? To be machshel somebody in a seeming Aveira. So Tosis and Kedushin says yes. I'm not getting involved in the case over there, but Tosis and Kedushin says being machshel somebody in an Aveira, which is not really an Aveira, but he thinks it's an Aveira, he does it anyway, is called Lifnei Velasitin Michshel. Right? Then Chofetz said, you know what, maybe it's not, this is really Chazer. Because saying Lashon Hara, now, which is a Toelis, not the Toelis, maybe it's called Chazer. So the Chofetz Chaim is Masupik when he said Lashon Hara, which is beneficial, not for beneficial reasons, is that called an Aveira or not? Is that truly an Aveira, or is it just bad intents? Is it bad intention? Or it's a real Aveira? So Chofetz Chaim said, I'm not sure. So just read that footnote on page 20. Reuven saying it for with bad intentions. It's like a case where you plan to eat chazer and you end up eating lamb chops. The more it has a pasuk, you need kapara for that. He brings the Tosfos and Kedushin. Okay. Then he says. You know what? Maybe this is even called eating chazer. The main thing is what your intention is. So that now the Chofetz Chaim seems to be, he's not sure. Right? Is this an act of hatzalah? Because really it was beneficial information. I was saved from getting involved in the shidduch, which now I know. He told me that, you know, this guy's a really bad temper, and you know, I would never want my daughter to marry such a person. He saved me. I was such a tzola, right? So it was beneficial speech, but his intent was bad. Is that called Lashon Hara or not? I'm not sure, he says. Could be it's called Besar Tleh, could be it's called Besar Chazir, could be it's called eating lamb chops, could be it's called eating chazir. Because the main thing is what your intention is. So the Chofetz Chaim over here seems to be getting involved in this question of how do we define the action? What is it? Is the main thing the intent? Or the main thing is the benefit which is there? That defines the action. So we have two cases of that. So I'll just give you an example where this plays out in a different area of halacha on page 22. Okay? The fish are running. Right? The bass is running today. Is the day. It's Shabbos. Right? Right? This guy, fellow, has a tremendous yetzer hara to go fishing. Right? So he goes out to the lake, throws out the nets, and he catches fish. He's mechalel Shabbos. Right? He also happened to save a child who just fell in right now, and he saved the child. He caught fish and also a child. He saved the kid's life. Right? So what's the halacha? Is he chayiv to bring a korban in that situation? Is he chayiv for chilul Shabbos or not? Okay, so it's in page 22, which is more menachos. I bracket up a lot of the Gemara. We're not going to have time for all of that. It's about half. It's about midway point. First line of the word of the line, the Itmar, in the bracketed section. Shoma shatava atinuk b'yam. He heard that the kid is out there. Uparash Matsuda Lahalis Dogim, and he went out to catch fish. Behela Dogim, and he got fish, Chayiv. Lahalis Dogim, Behela Dogim Batinik. His intent was for the fish, but he got the fish and the kid. Rav Amr Chayiv, Rav Amr Potter. Okay? And we pass him like Rav. Because this is an act of Atzolah. It's not Chilul Shabbos. This is an act of Atzolah's Tefashas. It's not Chilul Shabbos. So passing like Rabbi. So the action, even though the intent was wrong, his the heck with the kid, you know, I want to catch fish. Right? the halach is that he's potter because he saved the life. The act was an act of hatzalah. So here, by hatzalah nefashis, by wasam lebriecha, we define it based on the actual action, not on the intent. So why maybe is lashon hara different? So that maybe get back to our original point, that lashon hara might be different because there's this other element in lashon hara of the negative act of that negativity which is there is a separate aveira independent of the result that you're accomplishing. So if the issue is the result, so the result is defined as an act of hatzolah, not an act of chilul Shabbos. The result is defined as an act of saving the person's life. The result is defined as an act of saving the person being hit, according to the Taz. The result is that I'm saving this person from a financial loss. If that's what it is, so you're right. If the issue is the result, so then result, we look at the bigger picture, and that's how we define the result. But we said it by Lashon Hara. There's a separate aveira of saying Lashon Hara, independent of the result, even though you know the result's not going to be negative at all. But you cannot say Lashon Hara anyway. So that's why maybe that Lashon Hara is different than that point. So that's the discussion. We brought some sources. Let's try and bring it all together. We brought some sources for this heter of saying Lashon Hara. We point maybe there are two sources for it, one based on the Pasuk and one based on this idea that Rechonim points out. There's a general rule when it comes to Medon HaVeroi that if it's done for positive benefit, it's going to be mutter. The question is, why do you need both? We pointed out there are two elements of Lashon Hara. Both of them stand independently. And then we pointed out maybe this difference to the situation over here. So that maybe that's the Chofetz Chaim's question. What did you really do? Did you eat chazer? Did you eat lamb chops? Right? Because your intent was negative, even though the result was positive. And maybe the situation where the result was this person not going to say any more Lashon Hara, but right now he's intending to... negative emotions coming out when he's talking to me, and I'm being machshel him to allow to do that. And the last point over here, just the Chofetz Chaim points out that when you do hear Lashon Hara, you cannot believe it. There's no heter to believe the Lashon Hara. Just if somebody tells you something, you have to believe him? Well, you never lie to me, right? Of course not, right? He just fed you Lashon Hara, so he's such a big tzaddik. He never lies, but he says Lashon Hara. Maybe not such a big, he's not such a big tzaddik. But he says, besides that, maybe there's more details to the story. And there's always more details to the story. If you would know, right? How many times have you, we're confident and sure and no doubt, no question that, you knew the whole story, and therefore what he did was wrong. And you find out, actually there's more and more detail, and what he did was okay. Right? So, but that doesn't mean you should not hear and you should take it into consideration. So the Mora says, and it's a Gemara Nida, the Mora says that the Pasuk, so Gedaliah ben Achikam was appointed as the governor over the land of Eretz Yisrael after the Korban Abayis. There's an individual named Yishmael ben Netanya who planned to murder Gedaliah and then to make this coup and kill all the people, etc. He was told about it and he said, I don't want to hear any Lashon Hara. And he did not act to protect himself, etc. And the Pasuk says that this is what happened. So the Pasuk says, Vabora Shahishik Shom Yishmol is Kopigre Hanoshima Shahika Biyad Gedaliah. We were killed by Gedaliah. Mor says, Gedaliah didn't kill him. Yishmol killed him. He should have listened to the Atzas Yerchen Ben Kerach. He should have listened. The Mor says, you cannot believe it, but you have to take it into consideration. You can't ignore it. You have a responsibility to protect yourself or others. You can take it, you can't believe it. So Chofetz Chaim takes this to quite an extent. There's a fellow collecting staka, and people believe that he's an oni, and he's asking for staka, and you're giving him staka. Somebody says, the guy really is not an oni, he really has money. He says, let's stop giving him money. There's a novel term, not giving money to an oni. As far as you know, he's an oni. It's because somebody told you he's an oni. Now he's not an oni anymore. Now you have a right to, you should check it out. Lachash mi boy, you should clarify, but tell you, the person has a chazaka. We follow so many areas of halacha, the concept of chazaka. All of a sudden now, when it comes to my money, no chazakas anymore. Hashem, somebody said that I think you might be an oni. I'm a putter. Really? The guy has a right to get stalker from you. You can't do that. So you don't have to return a Shabbos Aveda to a person who's an apikaris. Somebody said, I think he's an apikaris. I'm going to keep that car that I found. There's no such chapter. Lachash Miboy, you can clarify and find out, etc. The Lachash Miboy means you have to, but you cannot believe it. So somebody tells me, Shidduch information, this guy has a really bad temper. I don't know if he has a bad temper. I shouldn't get involved in the shidduch because I don't want to get involved in the shidduch. But I can't. I know the guy has a bad temper. How do I know the guy has a bad temper? Because somebody told me that they think he has a bad temper. Now I know for sure. You don't believe it. You're lachash miboy. So this is very careful when it comes to second information. Somebody told you. You have no right to believe it. You have a right to take it into consideration. You actually have a responsibility to take it into consideration. You don't want to get involved in potential fights down the road. So don't get involved. Right? But that being said, we discussed last night, there's quite a difference if you've already finalized the shidduch. That's a different ball game where you made financial commitments. They already got married, and somebody tells you, I'm telling you, who said? I can look into it, I can bear it, but I can't assume automatically that that's true. There's a difference between before I get into the situation and what's already into the situation. The Chabad spent a lot of time discussing this issue. There are big differences between what stage the relationship is holding out. We point out last night there are three stages. There's the original stage, which is just they're contemplating such an idea. There is when the shidduch is actually going forward, which is compared in halacha to oni mehavah b'chararo. I'm attempting to get something already. So damn it! The more I talk to a case where the oni is trying to get an oni is sees there's food there, it sees the balabas is giving out one portion of food, and he's about to give it to me, and somebody else swoops in and takes it. The more calls the guy Russia. So, person say, if I did it because I want to eat something, I'm called the Russia. Tell the Herman, just do it because I'm a negative guy, right? So I can't just, that's quite a different stage than they're really considering at the beginning. Over here, they're actually dealing with it. And then the third stage, which they actually already engaged, they made commitments. Rav Yasher points out in his breaking of shidduch, he says, you should basically consider it like equivalent to Ritzicha. Before you do, if you're ready to do Ritzicha, so you should do that too. If you feel that that's valid to do Ritzicha over here, then you should break the Shidduch. If you want to get involved in breaking the Shidduch, I'm telling you, I think it's better, it's such a good idea for you, are you willing to kill somebody? If yes, for what you believe in, fine. And that should be the criteria how you decide, and that's that stage. Okay.